I am excited that we are actually starting on Songs of Ascent. To vast majority of you, this will be very, very first time. We're going through this Psalms and Proverbs series, and before my sabbatical in September, I thought about going through another Psalms as well, but there's a tugging in my heart, this Songs of Ascent series that we've done 14 years ago. I wanted to draw at least a few psalms from that. But rather than that, we're actually going through the Songs of Ascent series. If you look into your Bible, Psalm 120, and you will see a superscription that says a song of ascents, and 21, 22, all the way to Psalm 134, the same title. And this is within the Psalter, the book of Psalms, and at the end, it's tugged in. As it's just charm and treasure, and most of Christians might not even aware of that. So we get to really experience this, the wonderful side of Psalm. And I need to do just few important, the foundational introduction on this. A Song of Ascent, as I mentioned, is a 15 psalms. This will be a series within our current series, and this Song of Ascents is the packed in and a book within the book of Psalms. Song of Ascents, Songs of Ascent is also known as Songs of Degrees, or Songs of Steps, or Pilgrim Songs. There is a concept because of ascending, climbing. Some scholars and even early days of Jewish tradition, there was a 15 steps that they're praying and singing each song on each step. But mostly, the scholars will generally agree on that these are the songs that of the pilgrims. What's the pilgrim all about? If you look at the Old Testament, there are three times in a year all Israelites as a family, including Jesus' family, will travel, take a pilgrimage toward Jerusalem, the city of God, the temple, the people gather together and worship. Three times, at least three times a year. The first one is in the spring, the Feast of Passover. Second time is during the summer, the Feast of Pentecost. And in the autumn, there's a Feast of Tabernacles. Those are the Israelites' history, faith history, marked by God's miracles. So people gather together from far land. And this psalm is the first of those 15 psalms. And this psalm is also marked by a person who's weary, far from Jerusalem. And not only in physical sense, but in a spiritual, emotional sense, he's exhausted and he's homesick. That's so much of a beautiful beginning of that. And it's countercultural, counterintuitive, I should say. Pilgrim is supposed to be something celebratory, really good, a positive side of it. And most of you even don't even know this psalm. But you are very familiar with the Psalm 121. That says, I look up to the mountain. where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who created heaven and earth. Oh, why don't we start with that? But there is a specific reason why this psalm is the first of 15. Some of you guys know that in terms of music genre, is blues is my favorite. Other than, there are some classical songs, the classical music that I like also too. Why? Blues, there is a deep heart cry of that. Psalm 120 sings blues. And we will hear the blues today. But there is a, under the distress and somehow the sadness and blues of homesick, there is a secret of joy that could stir our hearts as well. So these psalms were written several hundred years ago, I mean hundred years. And the different psalms, most of psalms we don't even know who wrote it. Psalm 122 is attributed to David, but this psalm, we don't know who wrote it, and many other psalms as well. But there is a purpose. The meaning of these psalms is they're taking the pilgrimage, literal pilgrimage, maybe whole week of heading toward to Jerusalem. And by the way, Jerusalem was also another name as Zion, Mount Zion. Jerusalem was a fortress city, military, in terms of military, defending the purpose of it, very strategic. Why? Because it's in a highland. Hence the reason why it's a song of ascent. Climbing the hill. So as they were doing that, this was able to teach and remind people about foundational livings of living a lifelong pilgrimage as a people of God. Today, I want you to realize, as we are journeying with this psalm, that our life itself is a lifelong pilgrimage, the spiritual Jerusalem. For Christ follow, we could call it, this is a pathway of discipleship. But every single one of us need to be reminded that we do not belong to this world. We're just passing through this because our ultimate destination, ultimate home, is where God is. And how we could live our everyday life in the mindset of a pilgrim, this 15 psalm, set of 15 psalm will be very meaningful for us. There's an interesting thematic designed in these psalms, if you pay attention. And a lot of commentators notice this. And in our daily lives, you could see that every day, there's a sunny day, and there's a rainy and stormy days, and there's a days that you really hang in there and persevere. And these psalms are designed in a way that it reflects our real life journey as well. There is a pattern. Some would say ABC. Affliction happens, the first psalm, and try it. And then belief, or believing. And then thirdly, consolation happens. But I like John Phillips' description of everything starts with T. The first triad, first psalm is usually about trouble. Something is wrong. Even this today's psalm, in distress, I call out, cry out to the Lord. That it starts with trouble. And then second psalm, it trust. In the midst of our troubles, we trust. We learn to trust. And third, it is triumph. The consolation of God answering prayers. And then later, towards the end of our service, I'm going to have Taco, the interim director of our operations, give us a little update of our Sunday worship site. We don't have a worship site, zero leads for now. After August 20th, this is the end of our staying at Yoba Middle School as our worship site. As of August 27th, we don't know where we're going to meet. That trouble is there. And God, as we are taking, God is taking us through this, and this psalm will be very meaningful as well. The first triad, and today's title is starting with a U-turn, trouble today. And then next Sunday will be looking to God for help, trust. And Psalm 122, the week after that is gathering to worship God, the triumph and joy. This is overview. The 15th Psalm, in other words, the five triads, the blue fonts are noted as the beginning of the triad, which means all trouble. Those are all trouble and trust and triumph. We have 7 weeks before end of 27. And the first Sunday of August, I'm going to have Einstein speak again in this coming month. So not counting next, the first Sunday of August, we have 6 weeks. So which means we're going to actually stop at 6:125, finding unshakable security in God. So when I do come back, Lord willing, in January, we'll finish the rest of it. Our threefold aim is this. One, to embrace our Christian life as a lifelong pilgrimage toward God. Two, to practice these 15 essentials as the rhythms of life, as a spiritual discipline of life in following Christ. Number three, to pray the Psalms, these 15 Psalms, as our travel guide during this summer. So I want to encourage you to go back to the Psalm 120 and look at even the paraphrased version of Message translation, which is very much of a modern language, and read that and pray that every day until next Sunday. And we will pick up Psalm 120 and then pray for the one whole week that way as well. So in light of that, the recommendation for me, from me is that Eugene Peterson has written this book. This is actually on the Song of Ascent, but he entitled the book A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. What a wonderful title that is. That basically says, this is the Christian discipleship in light of Psalm 120 to 134, Songs of Ascent. Okay. As we begin, let's read today's Psalm one more time. Psalm 120, deliver me, O Lord, a song of ascent. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows and glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshach, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. How too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace? I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. We are about to embark this pilgrimage toward Jerusalem. For our case, it's a spiritual Jerusalem, the presence, the very presence of God. For Hebrew pilgrims, the beginning point was very important. Before we say, yes, Lord, I'm coming to you, there must be a no. Hence the reason why the title of today's message is starting with a U-turn, repentance. Repentance is taking a 180-degree turn, full U-turn. In other words, there are three requirements for starting this kind of journey in this psalm. And as we meditate, things will become, the obscure language will become much more clear and very meaningful. Here's the first one. The first requirement for starting a spiritual journey to God is holy discontent. We must be fed up with lies of the worldly ways. The first verse 1 gives us a quick hint already. In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. His distress is about verse 2 and 3. So a lot about lies and deceitful tongue. And what it is when I say holy discontent, is it's not a dissatisfaction because your heart is ungrateful and you are bored, but holy discontent is nothing is wrong around your life. No one's seriously sick in your life, in your family. But there is a godly cause of discontent. And then that's when we begin to realize, I am fed up with worldly ways. That's really the beginning point of us turning around. To pay attention to God, we need to be deeply disillusioned about this world. And I'm not talking about some kind of a clinical depression or something terrible happened. You are too hard on yourself. But I'm talking about seeing the reality of lies around us. There are two different kinds of lies. Lies and deceitful tongue that attacks us. And this psalmist, whoever that psalmist is, there is a slander, false accusation. Deliver me from the lying lips, deceitful tongue. When you're accused, when there is a character assassination happening, and obviously their life doesn't look good anymore. But once again, not because of your fault, but because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And you and I know, these day and age, there's so many social controversies, even at work, and embedded it into political things. And then for you to stand as a Christ follower, that you even declare that Jesus is my Lord, and to even say, I trust in Jesus because He is the only way to God. That is offensive. If we believe the lies, we learn to compromise. We learn to become secret agent as a Christian. Nobody really knows what you believe. It's safer that way, initially. But there is deeper kinds of lies. The lies that lure us, not attack us. The lies that make us feel like we are falling behind because our mortgage is not paid and our kids need their own room and we don't have the big enough house that each kid has the same, you know, their own room. A typical young adult growing up, not having good credit card score, or middle-aged person who is not able to acquire own a house, and it becomes something very, very discouraging in this society. And if you at your own current position at your work for more than 10 years and you haven't been promoted, there is a pressure. There's a sense of worth and significance is there. And not to mention if you get laid off or looking for a job and job search is hard, that adds even more salt in your wounds. And then the neighbor's kids seem to go to good college, and our kids have a struggle. Where to live in Southern California says a lot about how people perceive you. So before we truly desire God's way, we must first realize our deep disillusionment in worldly ways as a holy discontent to change our ways. What I've been believing as truth, in fact, turns out to be a lie. And I've been swayed and lured by quick fixes, shortcuts, materialistic gain, good reputation from people. Those are all worldly ways. Unless we are deeply disillusioned by those things, we will not turn to God. So let's look at first letter of John 2:15 and through 17, remind ourselves and from the New Testament perspective what this lure is all about. Verse 15 says, do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. For those of us who are facing troubles in our lives, including our church, this is an opportune time for us to look to God rather than look to ourselves, rather than be discouraged and be in despair. This is God-given opportunity for me to turn to God, for experience trusting in God, what that looks like. So do you have something that discourages you? Something that dissatisfies you? Something you are disappointed by? People, your friends and neighbor, your work? Turn that into spiritual opportunity, God-given opportunity, to have holy discontent. And even though for those of you, everything's going so well, there is, at the end of the day, when you go to sleep, when you wake up in the morning, there's something missing. Have you realized that? That we as a Christians can miss God? Oh, we worship God and everything, right? But because we somehow drifted away, we realize God never drifts away from us. We're the one who drifted away. Lord, I miss you. Number two, requirement we need in starting a spiritual journey to God is reality check. We must face a reality check on God's deliverance and judgment. This is the wisdom that we hear over and over, because the worldly lures seems like it's going to stay here forever. That determines my self-worth forever. But spiritual reality check is someday every one of us will be accounted for how we lived life. And the things that we feel so attracted to, we felt so drawn to, will vanish away. So that's why the psalmist turns into prayer, verse 2. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you? And what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows and glowing coals of broom tree. As he was asking the Lord, deliver me from lying lips, and he thinks about the consequence of the punishment, the actual account that happened, those people who lied to him, those people who had a deceitful tongue, what will they have? A warrior's sharp arrows. This has a double meaning in it. When you are accused and falsely accused and slander happens and they lie behind your back at your work and something, it feels like a sharp arrow coming at. But warriors' sharp arrows, the Lord's sharp arrows, the final saying of judgment and punishment will be even more sharper and deeper. and then glowing coals of the broom tree, the fire that doesn't go away. The heat burns persistently. So we must not be discouraged when our neighbor seems to be getting prosperous so many ways, and he or she doesn't even fear the Lord at all. As a matter of fact, in their language, there's a curse about God all the time. A disregard of any respect for sovereign creator. Do we believe that? That someday, if I compromise and I act like the worldly people, that I will be accounted for. I will experience the sharp arrow too. But if I endure, for now, it seems like I'm losing big time. But God will vindicate each one of us. Do you see why one of the commentators says Psalm 120 sings the blues? This blues actually calms our heart, keep our head up. And therefore we must turn to God for His truth, His rescue, and His justice. Remember, in the midst of all that, we have a fork of the road. We need to believe, or we need to doubt, or we need to listen and hear the lures and lies of the evil one, the worldly ways, or the truth of our Lord, the godly ways. That's why Galatians 6, 7 through 8, Paul the Apostle encourages us to not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Maybe some of us needed to hear that, because we are about to give up, because we are about to just go worldly ways in full force, easier way, quicker way, and compromise way. John Bailey reminds us this important point. He writes, "I am sure that the bit of the road that most requires to be illuminated is the point where it forks." Brothers and sisters, I think our church community is at that fork. It's illuminated to us in such a way, will we be in despair and have this, the mind of doubts and even envy of the worldly ways, or will we trust God when there is nothing that tells us we know where to meet it to August 27th? And in your personal lives, this is very, very true as well. In our life, this is coincidence that maybe the evil one is trying to discourage me and discourage our family. Saturday early morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, one of my son's car was just parked in the street and next to our house. Somebody just ran into it, and the car was just so much damage. But I don't know what happened. We just, obscure things happened. That car was parked on somebody else's driveway. And then policemen came, and we're trying to figure it out. And, you know, police officer is doing his job. We cannot act on speculation. We didn't see. And there was a police call at 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's why that driveway is happening that way. But the point is, something is just, everything is falling apart in my heart. That's the fork of the road. And preaching to my own soul is that, Paul, cast out your anxieties to God. Do you believe that God is creator, that sovereign Lord, that he owns 1,000 cattle in the hill, in the Old Testament language? The car wasn't, we couldn't even start. And we're trying to call the police, I mean the insurance, and finding out. But I believe if we turn to God, this trouble becomes opportunity for us to trust in the Lord. And not only I, and along with my wife Kate, will experience that. My boys, my sons will experience trusting that God is alive and God is powerful. God is cares for us. Eugene Peterson, in that book, this is the first quote. Each week I'm going to have one quote for you. He writes, this is so good. Christian consciousness begins with the painful realization that what we had assumed was a truth is in fact a lie. Prayer is immediate. Rescue me from the lies of the advertisers who claim to know what I need and what I desire. From the lies of entertainers who promise a cheap way to joy. From the lies of politicians who pretend to instruct me in power and morality. From the lies of psychologists who offer to shape my behavior and my morals so that I will live long, happily, and successfully. From the lies of religionists who heal the wounds of this people lightly. From the lies of the moralists who pretend to promote me to the office of captain of my own faith. From the lies of pastors who get rid of God's command so you won't be inconvenienced in following the religious fashions. Rescue me from the person who tells me of life and omits Christ, who is wise in the ways of the world, ignores the movement of the Spirit. Amen. And amen to that. Third and last thing we need in starting a spiritual journey toward God, and U-turn, as I mentioned, we must repent from our ways to God's ways. The psalmist writes in verse 5, woe to me that I sojourn in Meshach and that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Meshach is way up in north of Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, near the Black Sea. Kedar was Arabian desert. The nomadic people live. So we're talking about he's covering the poetic language as if he lived there. There's no way that he lived both ways. The furthest north and furthest south of the foreign people. Heathens, in other words. Those people who do not fear God. Those people who are vicious. And we're talking about powerful nations like Egypt and Assyria, who is all about conquering back in the ancient days and in antiquity. The people who are loving the war was a powerful. They invade the other country and they make them slave and they build a public service station, whatever that is convenient to their nations. And they serve their people, and there is basically so much of good that they got from the victory from their war. And Israel is a small, weak nation. That's all about, I am for peace. Literally, he's saying, I am peace. But whenever I say I am peace, they are for war. Do you see the homesickness of this person? This is not just literally that person is far away from the Lord. I'm far away from the Jerusalem and Israel. But the fact that he was living in the midst of the people who do not fear God, the people who cuss Yahweh, the covenant God, and they will mock the way that the Israelites, the Hebrews, lived. The same way the world in which we live, if we become clearly awake spiritually, it's a spiritually hostile world. It is not easy. And we need to pray for our children, pray for youth, for them to be young Christians in their house, in their public schools. When we were growing up, we didn't have that. Would you agree? The sexual confusion, transgenderism, all that is going on, and whoever speaks against it is a bigot. Whoever says, I'm a Christian, they're really just nut. So we need a decision, because repentance begins with a decision. The decision is to make a full U-turn from worldly ways, not halfway, full U-turn to godly ways. The U-turn is a rejection that is also acceptance, a leaving that develops into an arriving, a no to the world that is a yes to God. Those are Peterson's language. I love that. Unless there is no yes to God. Unless there is no to the world. C.S. Lewis reminds us why this is important. Listen to his wisdom. We all want progress. But if you are on the wrong road, the progress means doing an about turn and walking back to the right road. In that case, the man who turns back soonest, the man who turns full U-turn soonest, is the most progressive. If you are wrong in the way, the faster you run, the harder you try, the further you will be lost in the wrong road. And I close with this. Reminder from our Lord Jesus, whom we follow. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24 to his disciples, and to us, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross, saying to the no to the world and follow me. Here are three things that is required for starting a spiritual pilgrimage toward God. Holy discontent. We need to be fed up with lies of the worldly ways. We need to have reality check on God's deliverance and judgment. And we need a full U-turn, repenting from our ways, the godly ways. As we promised, I promised, let's pray this psalm together in Message translation. It is a modern language, same psalm, but it sounds so much close to our daily language, isn't it? I'm in trouble. I cry to God, desperate for an answer. Deliver me from the liars, God. They smile so sweetly but lie through their teeth. Do you know what's next? Can you see what's coming? All you bare-faced liars, pointed arrows and burning coals will be your reward. I am doomed to live in Meshach, cursed with a home in a Kedar. My whole life lived camping among quarreling neighbors. I'm all for peace. But the minute I tell them so, they go to war. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for reminding us our need for holy discontent, a reality check, and that we need to make full U-turn from the compromising ways, from the ways that we were lured by the worldly ways, from even living in a doubting fashion. Help us to turn fully to you, saying, yes, Lord, I believe your truth, your rescue, and your promise. And teach us and remind us this week that we are on a spiritual pilgrimage in lifelong, that this world is not our home, that we are passing through, that our eternal destiny and our home is in you. We pray that you will teach each one of us, and corporately as Crossway family, as we face this trouble ahead of us, that you will teach us to turn our trouble into opportunity to trust you. May we experience consolation and triumph. May we get to know your power and your glory and your worthy trustworthiness even more deeper in this summer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.